Listening to the Alex Jones Show. Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
And I want to be 100% clear, because I said that thing at the end of the segment about Glenn Beck. I think Glenn Beck is doing God's work. He is one of the top people out there fighting the New World Order. He has grown so much, and I think he's a really good person. I'm not saying they don't have a right to get rid of Lauren Chinn. I've been on her show a few times. She's a nice lady on the Blaze, just kind of a nice conservative, you know, populist person. And I see TPUSA took her off of their website as well. They're thinking, I haven't talked to them, but I know what they're thinking. Well, this is a contagion. They're going to try to say Trump's a Russian agent because he's associated with these people that, through a subsidiary company, were being sponsored by RT, that is state-run. But even the Justice Department mentioned they didn't know. But so, I mean, at a certain point, the Russians spent $10 million, and some of it, you know, through another company, went to these people to sponsor their shows or to get one of their shows and air on another network. I mean, that's how the media works. Again, I'm on hundreds of radio stations. Is there some station out there that Russians are funding I don't know about? And then I'm in trouble if that comes out? This is not illegal, even if you know. You're just here talking about issues, but I'm not funded by the Russians that I know. But, I mean, we're on a bunch of TV stations, cable stations, over 100 of those. We're on over 300-plus radio stations. And, I mean, I'm on – we use all sorts of big tech platforms for servers. Who knows who they're taking money from? I mean, it's just crazy. But I'm kind of digressing there. Maybe the Trump people, you know, that's where this came from, are making the right move, kind of walling this off. But, I mean, Tim Pool's a great guy. So's Benny Johnson. I mean, these are huge people. They reach tens of millions a day. And I just think at a certain point, I'm on counter with, you're the Russian agents, you're the Chinese agents. Hell, the Hochul's former chief of staff, deputy chief of staff, just got busted, the Chi-Com agent. I mean, you can't swing a stick in the dark and not hit the Democrats with a Chi-Com agent. So how would you respond to this? And Barnes, I think you agree with me, you already said it. This is a permutation, the third round of the Russiagate. This time they know nobody buys it about Trump. And nobody in his administration or around him is involved with Russia. So now they're going to scoop around and hide around and plant stuff and try to then intimidate everybody not to support Trump, or you're a Russian agent. Where do you see this going, and how do you think we should respond?
Yeah, there's two aspects to this. One is the legally perilous precedent they're trying to set. They're trying to say if they tie foreign funds at any level to anybody that is out there speaking about American politics, that they could potentially seize your property, seize your assets, shut down your business, and censor your speech entirely. And that's a terrifying precedent we should be completely opposed to. The second aspect is, I'd bet dollars to donuts that if we find the real source of the funds, it won't come from Moscow. It will come from closer to Langley. Here's the giveaway. People are forgetting Mueller already did this script because he indicted people connected to the Internet Research Agency. And the usual pattern is they just indict individuals that they know will never appear in court, so they can get away with falsifying information indictment, and they can hide it from FOIA request because there's a pending criminal proceeding. It's an exception to the FOIA request. What happened was they made a mistake in Mueller's case. Mueller indicted the company. The company could make an appearance without any individual risk. And so they did. And when they did, they said, they totally shocked Mueller. They said, we want all the discovery to prove your allegations are completely bogus. What did the U.S. Justice Department do? It said, hey, judge, please dismiss this case immediately. Please dismiss. The whole case got dismissed because they were scared to prove what really happened. Because what really happened was, that was not a Russian operation. That was a deep state operation with deep state fingerprints forensically all over the place.
Robert, let me stop you, and I want you to elaborate and say what you need to say because you're the expert here. But not to write myself into this like Hunter S. Thompson of the Gonzo Journalism, but you were there, you saw what happened to me, with a high-level official that has worked for the CIA, top Republicans and Democrats, with a spouse that heads up a federal agency, approaches me, and you know him, you talk to him, we'll leave it at that, and previously had brought stuff to me about working with good folks that wanted to fund me, richest man in the world at the time, not Musk, but I needed to, you know, kind of grow up a little bit, said no to that. And then I'm back in D.C. a few months later, and now it's, well, the Russians want to give you $3 million. It's totally legal. It's Internet Research Group. And just sign here. And I think the SWAT teams would have run in at that point. I mean, what was that?
Well, that was an attempt to do what they did here. So the only mistake they made there was they misgauged your sophistication. They did a better job this time of only targeting people who don't have the degree of sophistication and have a degree of naivete as to how the deep state operates. And so you outed them before they could actually entrap you. But that's when we dug into it, it wasn't really the Russians. They were trying to front as Russians in order to incriminate you, in order to go after you, in order to be able to spy on your whole network and then try to censor and suppress your speech, shut you down, silence you entirely. In the same way, the lawfare that, again, they've admitted on the record to James O'Keefe's people and to other people, other investigative reporters, that the Sandy Hook cases were politically coordinated behind the scenes by people who are out to censor and silence you, including people at the FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA, the heart and center of the deep state. And that's what they're doing here. So what it is they use the claim of Russians, but they only indict. Here was the giveaway. In the indictment, there are several giveaways, but one of the giveaways was in the indictment, they didn't make Mueller's mistake. Like, if they really thought the RT was behind this, then you indict RT as a company. You indict other companies that are involved in this. That's what you do. If you sincerely think the Russian government was trying to run an intel operation through conservative influencers, by God, it's a compelling case. You want the world to know about it. You want a trial to happen. Instead, they don't indict any company. They indict two Russians they know are never going to appear in court. So they can hide it from FOIA forever, and they can hide it from the public what really happened, that the checks were from Langley, not from Putin. And that's what the reality of this is. And that's what we should out it as, because the only thing that's going to stop this from occurring again and again and again and again is if we out it for what it is. Russiagate 1 was a hoax. Russiagate 2 was a hoax. Russiagate 3 is a hoax. People should not be running to smear, shame, and censor Lauren Chen because she was the victim of a deep state operation, nor should they accept anything Merrick Garland is telling them as true. There's so many giveaways here. For example, if they really thought this was a Russian intel operation, then you go to Tim Pool, you go to Dave Rubin, you go to Benny Johnson, you say, we want to incriminate these people. Here's who's really behind this. We want you to run an operation for us. And all of them would have, by the way. All of them eagerly would.
By the way, you're giving out some inside baseball. When I brought this into the FBI in the letter, I said, by the way, if you're not behind this, I want to help you. And of course, no. Oh, no. So. You say I'm sophisticated. This was very obvious. With these guys, an ad agency media company says they want to sponsor them. It's been an American company. It's got Russians secretly funding it. Then there's a private investor. They had no way of knowing. I mean, this would be like if somebody stuck drugs in your mailbox, you know, when pickup's happening and put your name and address on it, and then that can later be proven you don't go to jail that somebody mailed drugs in your name. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, completely. I mean, there's no reason to implicate any of the content creators in knowing anything of consequence. Even if they did know something, what they were doing was not illegal. But what it is like, for example, if this was truly a Russian operation, they would have been much more sophisticated. They would have approached other people. They would have used multiple levels of fronts. The Russians would have operated the way the CIA does. This is some cheap operation, mid-level, written by some diversity hire over at the CIA, over at the DOJ, over at the FBI, who just said, hey, you know what? We've run this script twice before. We tried to entrap George Papadopoulos. We tried to entrap Carter Page. I remember talking to him at a London cigar bar about all the details. He laid it out to me, and this was before it became public. And I was like, this is a deep state operation. This guy's a deep state guy. This guy's a deep state guy. This guy's a deep state guy. And by the way, all of that ultimately came out as absolutely true years later. They weren't Russians. They were on the MI5 payroll, MI6 payroll. They were on the Australian intelligence payroll. They were on U.S. intelligence payroll, Canadian intelligence payroll. They were on the Five Eyes payroll. That's where they were. That's what this is. This is a deep state operation. That's all it is, meant to smear a whole bunch of people and meant to justify all their illicit spying.
So let me ask you this. Exactly. That's the key, is the FISA. Finish that, and then what do you expect them to do now that we know the shape and the cut of the jib of this new attack, and then how do we respond?
Well, it's like what we've talked about for a while, is that the dangers of the current establishment and deep state is that they have the moral compass of Henry Kissinger, but the intellect of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. And that's a dangerous combination because it can lead to disastrous results like what bred World War I, which gave us World War II, which gave us the Great Depression, which gave us the Cold War. It was all of their incompetency in the 19-teens, early 1920s. But the we have the same. So that's a fear here, because this is like a mid-level operation. As soon as I saw it, I was like, this is a half-assed version of what Mueller did. And you know, I was a little bit surprised that people like Megyn Kelly and other conservatives just took the bait on it and swallowed it whole. It's like, come on, how many times you got to get taken for a ride before you know who's riding you? But the my concern is that this is an attempt to escalate. They tried to get Putin arrested in Mongolia, which would have been insane. They're trying to trigger. They invaded Russia through Ukraine. They're trying to trigger a war before Election Day. That's my greatest concern.
Only 59.
We get World War III.
I agree. So let's shift gears and we'll get back to World War III in a moment and cover the waterfront, the campaign, 59 days to go, and Black Swan events and all that's being hyped up, and civil unrest being hyped, and civil war conditions by Jamie Raskin and the rest of it. What do you make of this? Last time I checked, it had like 18 million views this morning. That was just Stephen Crowder's posting. It was incredible investigation units. He is now even rivaling James O'Keefe, and we're not in competition. I mean, I hope they all get 1,000 bigger times than me. I'm going to beat the globalist. But we got to say it. He's really kicking ass with his team. Top Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman blasts DA Bragg over Trump prosecution and secret recording. The case is nonsense. He says they're a bunch of cowboys, Wild Wild West. They're idiots. They're changing the cases as they go. Double jeopardy. You know, Trump is innocent. This is politically motivated. It's horrible. It's going to get messy. Wow. And then less than 24 hours after that, the judge in the criminal cases, we're not going to have the, he said he was, they had Rikers ready. He said, we're not going to put Trump in jail for a year, they were saying, on the 18th of September, just in, you know, a little less than a week and a half away. Now we're going to wait until after the election. How big a deal is that?
Well, it's really big. And it, I mean, it's what I predicted would happen. Because I believe that the smarter side of the Democratic Party knows that the criminal weaponization of the justice system has limited effect, that it's not worked the way they thought it would against Trump. Just like they thought Sandy Hook litigation would work a certain way against you and they failed. They keep underestimating the American people. And so then the question becomes, what's next? Because that script has basically run out. The New York judge has said he's not even going to make a ruling on the merits of the mistrial motion until after Election Day. And guess who else did that yesterday? The D.C. judge. The D.C. judge said no trial until after Election Day.
Wait, let me stop you, which shows it's all coordinated, which we already know. They all meet at the White House. They all, from Fannie Willis to Letitia James to Alvin Bragg to Jack Smith, it's all come out. They all meet and get coordination from Obama.
Completely. I mean, it's been a deep state operation now for the better part of a decade. They can't handle the fact that they're losing power in the court of public opinion. And they're going to resort. The question is, Trump has really upped his game. So, I mean, you know, he unites with Robert Kennedy. He unites with Tulsi Gabbard. He's going to bring Elon Musk to take apart the administrative state. You know, Tucker's tour is doing great. Robert Kennedy and Vivek were on there last night in Anaheim. So the mojo is, the zeitgeist is all in the right direction. This Russiagate 3.0 was one last desperate heave to try to disrupt the election, and it failed. So I don't think they can sell the American people on any sort of nonsense lawfare between now and Election Day. They can try to intimidate them like Garland is doing, saying if you try to do anything for honest elections, I'll try to stop you from the Justice Department, which is what his press conference last week was really all about. But other than that, our greatest risk is going to be some global catastrophe, because that's almost all they have left, the only card they have left to play, because the American people have seen through it and are rejecting it en masse.
Absolutely. Now, I interrupted you when you got into D.C. dropping it the same day. I want to explain to people how this works, okay? And I wasn't naive, but I didn't get the coordination until the Texas trial you were there, the Connecticut trial you were there watching it. You were also involved intimately early on. You said, look, it's all rigged. You explained it all to me like 5 years ago. You said, watch what happens. They're just getting discovery to then say you didn't give it. They're going to default you. It's all going to be rigged. It's from the Justice Department. And that all letter came out. You were dead on. You didn't say give up. You just said, understand, you're giving them everything. And they're going to say you gave them nothing. And you were there, you most exhausted you've ever seen. You can explain that if you want to, but I'm not putting words in your mouth. I've heard you say it 100 times, and I was there. It's true. I go in, there's an HBO camera. I'm looking on the judge's desk when I'm up there testifying, and she's got a script of questions. And then when I was in Connecticut, I look over at the judge, and she's got the same script. They gave lawyers in Connecticut and lawyers in Texas, different people, the same things we couldn't talk about, the 25 points. We got the same instructions. They put on all this fake evidence after I was already found guilty by the judges, and they literally put on show trials that would make Joseph Goebbels and Joseph Stalin blush. And I was like, oh, my God, this is – and they said later, this is a test for everybody. We're going to use the Alex Jones attack plan on MSNBC and CNN against everybody. And what's crazy is they had a PR firm come out after they rigged it and said, hey, we did it. We dredged up stuff he said. We magnified it. They made it up. And then we made him the Sandy Hook guy and then sued him and then rigged it. And then they pulled the articles 2 days later. Like, well, they weren't supposed to do that. But it's just crazy. I mean, when I was in Texas and Connecticut, they had 10 PR people at least calling the media on the ground. They're watching us. They're reporting. They're talking to the media. They're talking to the lawyers. They're talking to the judges' people. I mean, this was a movie production. And then the judge in Texas walks the red carpet at the South by Southwest main selection this year for HBO, The Truth versus Alex Jones, totally made up, all crap, all twisted lies, total bull. And she is a standing ovation as part of the panel there, which according to all jurisprudence, she should be disbarred, immediately removed. But that's how crazy they are.
Oh, completely. And what people forget, I mean, like, why do they bring these bogus indictments like Mueller did against the Internet Research Agency, like this indictment brought comes after Laura Chen effectively by implication, when they know there's never going to be a trial on the merits, when they know that the truth will never come out, when they know they can now hide information from FOIA. It's the same reason they rigged the Sandy Hook trials. They need a script. And as long as if it's in court, then what happens can be publicly discussed without anybody being able to sue for defamation. So Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, Laura Chen, they can't sue anybody because there's an indictment in court and that they can rely upon it. And so when anything's filed in court, as long as you report on it, you can't be sued for defamation. So that's why they do it that way. And that's why, like, they literally rigged the entire Texas trial for a movie. And the issue is, if that movie production company talked about anything outside of that courtroom that was untrue, they could be sued into oblivion. So they needed the trial to be fixed so that they could be immune from libel when they spread a libelous lawsuit that's supposedly about libel, but the entire case was a libelous case, a smear campaign, in order to be immune from suit. So that here's the problem. If they had allowed your side to present your evidence, then they would have been obligated in the film to show your side. And they didn't want that to happen. That's why why are they even going through with a trial? It's like you've been denied an opportunity to defend yourself on the merits.
And they put a financial expert on that never examined our books to claim I had $360 million in the bank that I made off them and I had less than $3 million that was already owed. So I was upside down. They wouldn't even let for a whole day of testimony. She just said, you get no testimony today. And the jury, we talked to them after, they said, well, since you're worth $360 million, we thought we would give 10% of your wealth to the families.
Exactly. I mean, it was a completely fake case.
$45 million.
Yeah, exactly. And so the key was, it was for the movie. The movie could not be made if they had presented an honest case. If you were allowed to present the truth, the actual truth, they call it The Truth versus Alex Jones. It's Alex Jones was on the side of truth and they were on the side of lies. And they needed to be able to spread a libelous film. And the only way they could spread a libelous film and libelous media was if they had a fake case, a case in which you were gagged and not allowed and present any evidence, not only as to the merits, but it's to any evidence as to the truth about large aspects of your net worth and damages.
And that's when it really backfired, was the public started reading headlines. Jones already found guilty by a judge. Why doesn't Jones ever get to talk? Why do they get 90% of the time? Why does the mother get up and say, you said I'm not real today? My son's not real. Never said that. Never said that day. Said the opposite. And then she lets her go for 10 minutes saying I'm horrible. All for the movie. But then if I tried to talk, you yes or no. All your answers, yes or no. You can't have notes. They can all have notes. So it was so transparent that 99% of the comments on YouTube at that trial in Connecticut were so bad, they then removed that. But this isn't about me. It's the formula, folks. Let's talk about this. We haven't talked about this enough. 9 weeks ago, the court-appointed CRO and U.S. Trustee Justice Department, Pat McGill, the CRO, Melissa Hazelton, the U.S. Trustee from the Justice Department, they order the building closed on a Friday, us to be thrown out by the private security I hired 8 years ago. I tell them, hey, there's no court order. Don't do this. They go, well, we don't know what to do. They had the security company. Goes, no, you're right. I can't do this. And I'm gonna call the police if you do this. Then I had to sleep up here because they tried to get other people to come in and, you know, shut it down in the days that followed. And then they say it's not true in the news. Chris Manning says he's made this up to Reuters and AP. Then days later, they go, no, it is true. They go to court that next week and say, we want him closed right now. The judge says, no, we'll have a hearing in 2 weeks. At the hearing in 2 weeks, he fires the U.S. trustee and fires the CRO. Says, it's Alex Jones's company. You can't shut it down. Hands it back to me, but I'm already in Chapter 7, so then it has to liquidate. That's going forward. But the vigilantism, the desperateness, they got up in court, the U.S. trustee's lawyers, and said, please don't give him the bank accounts. He'll run away with the money. Please don't do this to the children. What? To the families, which they then said, we don't want a settlement. We don't want money. We want him closed. And they told the news that. So just lies on top of twisting and then admitting it all. I mean, what did you think of that spectacle?
Well, I mean, it shows what it was all about from the beginning. That once the movie was made and the judge appeared on the red carpet, everything I said about that trial became confirmed beyond any doubt. And that the same thing has happened in terms of, because what's happened in the bankruptcy court is all the lies got exposed. All the lies claiming, you know, secret hundreds of millions of dollars, all garbage, all hogwash. That and that the real objective wasn't about justice, wasn't about any of that. It was about censorship of speech. It was about suppression of speech. That's the same thing with the recent Russiagate cases. I mean, it's all about remove the dissidents we don't like from the air. I mean, that's what a lot of the TikTok ban is about. They didn't like who was becoming popular on TikTok. So they tried to pass a ban on it, pretending it was about foreign government involvement. But that isn't why they're going after TikTok. They're going after TikTok because they didn't like Robert Kennedy having success on TikTok. They didn't like people critical of Israel having success on TikTok. Then Donald Trump has a lot of success on TikTok. That's why they're going after
it. No, I totally agree with you. So back to my case, because it affects everything, and I want to know your view. I've been trying to talk to you privately. You're so busy. What do you make? Because we just, you know, it's a federal judge. I thought they can't all be corrupt. He hasn't done me any favors. He just followed the law so far, but he excoriated them at that last hearing 6-7 weeks ago. What do you think they're going to try now? Because now I've seen the document. They're going to try to file the liquidation that if they're able to buy it, which they've said to shut it down, they say they have a big buyer, that they want the IP to say they own the Alex Jones Show and Real Alex Jones on X. All the case law says they don't. That's going to fail. But they literally want my identity again. And they said in the news, we don't want him on air. That's our goal. So it's so naked. So what do you think they thought of this federal judge not following their orders? I mean, they tried to shut me down outside the federal judge's order, and he stopped them. I mean, that's wild. A U.S. trustee can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to keep going. They didn't expect the public reaction. They thought the public would abandon you, would buy into the smears, would buy into the censorship campaign. They explicitly said after the Connecticut verdict, their goal was to get your audience to abandon you. Because that didn't happen, they've been scrambling ever since. And what it reflects and represents is what their intention has always been. Now, I still think it reveals an ongoing conflict of interest between the lawyers and their clients, because I don't think they've been fully honest and forthcoming with their clients. That there's two, what the bankruptcy court is supposed to ethically and professionally do is to maximize the value of the estate. That is to protect and expand and improve InfoWars. But what they want is exactly the opposite of that. They want the death of InfoWars. But the death of InfoWars means their clients don't recover a penny, nickel, dime, or dollar.
And let me back you up on that. At mediation in a federal courthouse with a federal judge months ago, right before this, I guess it'd be like 12 weeks ago, in Fort Worth, and the judge got mad at him there. And I can only talk about it because they went public with it themselves. They came back, we want to control your speech, we agree to that, and we want $70 million. And I said, I'll never make $70 million over 10 years, but I will agree to this just to keep us on air. And then, you know, later make another deal when it's clear I don't have that money, because I told my lawyers, I said, watch, let's agree to $70 million, and they're going to suddenly say a number higher. We go in, no, now we want $90 million. And I said, see what I'm talking about? And then that's what happened. I mean, can you believe that, Robert?
No doubt about it. I mean, and now their new objective is to try to use this case to seize people's identities. I mean, that's what they're doing. Your identity is inalienable. You can market it, you can license it, but you can't give it away. It can't be taken away from you. But that's what they're trying to do. They're claiming that through bankruptcy
That's slavery.
Court,
stay there. Do a little bit more with us and about 15 minutes, and then we're going to have Jadar take over. But give us how people find your great podcast and show.
VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com.
All right, stay there. Do 15 more minutes with me, and then the great Jadar. Let's get into this identity theft, which is their next move.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in